In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it was a warm but windy Friday afternoon in April 2011. My church in Colorado Springs had been renting an abandoned private school building for the past 2 years, but our lease was up, and so it was time for us to find a permanent home for our congregation in the city's downtown. The vestry and I stood outside what had once been a glorious edifice. In fact, it had been the original Episcopal church in town, built in 1874, but public worship had ceased in this building years before. It was most recently the home of the Sin nightclub, before it had been unceremoniously shuttered 6 months prior due to a lost liquor license. And that, of course, is another story for another time. When we made that first call to inquire about the building, the listing agent didn't want to show it to us. "You don't want that building," she had said. And it took us quite a bit of convincing before she finally agreed to meet us and let us in. But she actually refused to go into the building. And so we entered this building in almost complete darkness. All of the windows had been blacked out by the nightclub owners. And with the listing agent outside on the sidewalk, it was up to us to find the lights. And so we stumbled around for a while with our cell phone flashlights until we finally found a breaker box and turned on the lights. Now, our hopes had initially been very high, but the light revealed just how broken this building really was. The floor in one room had received extensive water damage when some pipes had burst months before, so that would need to be replaced. Another room was painted completely blue from floor to ceiling. And when I say blue, I mean blue. There was these gaudy crystal chandeliers in the ladies' room that were drawing so much wattage that we couldn't turn them all the way on without blowing the circuit. And down in the basement, the ceiling was almost completely gone, and what light fixtures remained just dangled from bare wires. Needless to say, this building looked way better in the dark. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Earlier in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so this is obviously an important theme in the fourth gospel. However, one of the problems with light is that it reveals our brokenness. I once crashed my bike in a race and I hit my head really hard. And some of the spectators were encouraging me to get back on my bike and get in the race. But the concussion, thankfully, kept that from happening. And that was a good thing, because my bike looked fine after the crash, but upon inspecting it later with a flashlight, I discovered that I had actually cracked the carbon frame and it was no longer safe to ride. In a similar manner, we may look just fine in the darkness of the world, but when the light of Christ comes, it has a way of making our cracks completely visible, of exposing our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. And so we hide from that light, lest we be found out. But this is not what God wants for us, as our gospel lesson shows today. Now, I have to preface this by pointing out that John is a very difficult gospel to preach on. Now, it's not because it's super mysterious or it's hard to understand, but rather it's because John has this unique ability to pack multiple meanings and levels of understanding into every story that he tells. And so, in a way, John's gospel is a bit like a theological clown car. And so rather than trying to deal with every theological point that John is making here, I'm going to focus simply on one clown, so to speak. Specifically, what I want to talk about today is that in this story of Jesus healing a man born blind, we learn that Jesus sees our brokenness, Jesus honors our brokenness, and Jesus heals our brokenness. Now, our story today takes place in Jerusalem. Jesus has just finished debating with the Pharisees, and after making a rather unveiled reference to his own divine nature, he slips away from the temple grounds where they're trying to stone him. And so our story picks up here in chapter 9. And we're told that as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, how many times do we pass by people and not even see them, especially people who are there on the margins of society? And yet, we're told that Jesus sees this man. And the word that John uses means more than just to look at something. It means to stare at it, to perceive it or experience it. This is not a glance out of the corner of Jesus' eye, but rather it is an intense gaze upon this man. You get the sense of him stopping and looking to the point where the disciples, who are hoping to pass quickly by this blind beggar, have to say something to break the tension. And so they say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, this was a common perception for Jews at the time. If someone had some sort of physical defect, it was assumed that it was a punishment for some sort of sin. And since this man had been born blind, they wonder if the condition is perhaps a punishment for his parents' sin. But Jesus actually reframes the entire situation. He says, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see, all the disciples can see is this man's brokenness. But Jesus sees God's glory in the midst of that brokenness. He doesn't shame him or condemn him. Instead, Jesus honors him. He tells his disciples that even this blind beggar is valuable to God, and he will use what others see as worthless for his glory. Now, how often do we feel like we are invisible to the world, that our brokenness has robbed us of any value we might have? And yet, Jesus sees us. He doesn't turn his eyes away in disgust, but rather he gazes upon us in love. And what's more than that, he honors not just those things in us that are whole and good, but he honors the parts of us that are cracked, that are deformed, that are crushed. Johnny Erickson Tata was a healthy and active 17-year-old girl in 1967, when she broke her neck and severed her spinal cord in a diving accident, leaving her a quadriplegic. Unable to use her legs or hands and with only limited movement in her arms, she was in many ways the epitome of a broken and useless person. And yet, God has used her shattered human body for his glory. And her great joy in the midst of adversity is a testimony to her trust in him. For 50 years, Johnny has been a support and an advocate for the disabled and the defenseless, seeking to shine the light of Christ to millions of people that society tries to ignore. She's not had an easy life, but through her brokenness, God has been glorified around the world through her ministry. And in the same way, when the light of Christ exposes us, it allows God to honor our brokenness and use it for His glory. Now, returning to the blind man in our story, had Jesus simply seen him and honored him, that would have been enough. Already he has restored value and dignity to this child of God. But Jesus takes it a step further. He makes mud with dirt and saliva, and he tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And as a result, the man is granted his sight. So not only does Jesus honor this man's brokenness, he actually heals it as well. Now, this is a tricky topic to talk about because we never want to assume that God is obligated to heal our infirmities. The Christian life is not about manipulating God so that we get what we want. But at the same time, we also know that Jesus Christ is the great physician. We need to remember, though, that when he does heal us, it's not always a physical healing. Sometimes he gives us emotional healing. Sometimes he gives us spiritual healing or relational healing. If we go back to the story of Johnny, despite her incredible faith and trust in him, God has not chosen to heal her physical body. But through these trials, he has strengthened her faith and he has drawn her so much closer to him. Her body may still be broken, but her soul is so much more whole than many people who have perfect physical bodies. When the light of Christ exposes our own brokenness, we should always pray for healing. But we must also be open to where and how that healing is going to take place. It may not necessarily be where we expect it. Because sometimes Jesus uses the cracks that we can see in order to heal the cracks that we can't see. My friends, we are seeing the effects of a broken and a fallen world today, to be sure. And all of our individual cracks are being exposed. We see fear and desperation. We see loneliness and isolation. We see selfishness and greed. But through it all, we have also seen the light of Christ shining through the cracks in this broken world. We've seen people reaching out to one another for help and support. We've seen businesses being creative, figuring out ways to make sure that people get much-needed supplies. And I think many of us have been reminded of the importance of the church and our faith in keeping all of our lives grounded in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what's going to happen this week or this month or even this year, but I do know that Jesus Christ will be glorified and his church will be strengthened in the end. After all, if he can transform a broken building called the Sin Nightclub into a church where the gospel is proclaimed faithfully, then he can certainly transform and heal our current health crisis. And if he can do that, we know that he can heal all of us as well. My friends, we are all broken in some way. We're broken physically, we're broken emotionally, we are broken mentally, and we are broken spiritually. Allow the light of Christ to expose your cracks. And then be kind and gracious when you see the brokenness that's been exposed in others. The church needs to be a safe place for fallen and broken people, because only Jesus can see our brokenness. Only Jesus can truly honor our brokenness, and only Jesus can truly heal our brokenness. He is the true light of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.